Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, June 8th, 2023. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. West Bonner School District trustees in the Panhandle choose Idaho Freedom Foundation Policy Director Brandon Durst as their next superintendent. Former Beauville and Lapway City Clerk Tracy Lynn Pryor pleads not guilty to embezzlement. Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife to use poison to rid four lakes of invasive fish. And Koberger objects to cameras in the courtroom. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. You're tuned to KRFP Moscow Pullman and live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho. I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The West Bonner School Board in the Idaho Panhandle has chosen Idaho Freedom Foundation senior analyst Brandon Durst as superintendent, passing over the interim superintendent, Susan Lucky, who was the other finalist. Durst was a Republican state superintendent of public instruction candidate last year. The Idaho Freedom Foundation is an anti-education group whose leaders say they want to end public schools in Idaho. The right-wing group has smeared the University of Idaho and Boise State University in white paper-style reports, claiming the schools are indoctrinating students in social justice and critical race theory, and claiming a number of majors at the UI are indoctrination majors. The vote by the school board in western Bonner County, adjacent to the Washington state line, was 3-2 in favor of hiring Durst. The vote came after a 90-minute public forum in which several hundred people packed into the Priest River Junior High School auditorium, which was followed by a one-hour school board executive session. Board Chair Keith Rutledge voted for Durst. Rutledge told the Bonner County Daily Bee, "At this day, at this time, I think Susie Lucky is an excellent superintendent for a school district that was highly functioning and is running smoothly. At this point, I think that change needs to happen, and I think Brandon is the guy to do that." School board member Margaret Hall voted for Lucky. Hall said, "We've got to figure out how to heal the community. We're split down the middle on a lot of things, and it seems like we've been hit with one thing after another this past year. Any decision we made last night is going to upset one group or another. We need to move forward for the kids' sake." Board member Carolyn Barton said, "I think that she has the experience, and I feel like Brandon Durst, although he has very good points, I feel like he doesn't have the experience or the knowledge to come into a community that is already divided." During the public forum, Durst said his experience with budgets and finance made him the best candidate. He said, "I am well qualified to provide leadership in a way that has been missing in the past." Lucky said during the forum she has deep roots in the community and contacts around Idaho. Lucky said, "I see a vision of where we do need change, we do need growth, we do need to move forward, and I am willing to work hard. Have lots of contacts throughout the state of Idaho that I have worked with over the years that would help us move in any direction we, the community, and the team want." The Idaho Freedom Foundation is notorious for its 44-page March 2021 report on the University of Idaho, which equated many professors with left-wing activists that have infiltrated academic departments. The report said, "Wherever social justice ideology, quote, is practiced, it compromises the pursuit of truth, the free exchange of ideas, and the aspiration of seeing people assimilate into the great American melting pot. It cultivates anger and resentment among the supposedly aggrieved while undermining the stability and mutual toleration that contributes to individual happiness and good citizenship." The report claimed Black Lives Matter is Marxist. It also calls for the legislature to restrict funding to public universities infused with social justice ideology and restore funding to universities that pursue their core mission of advancing what Idaho Freedom Foundation considers truth and supporting the common good. The report also split University of Idaho majors in a chart, claiming 10 majors are indoctrination majors, 6 are social justice and training majors, and the rest are, quote, professional departments. The list of majors the Idaho Freedom Foundation accuses of being indoctrination majors include history, American studies, English, sociology, Latin American studies, Africana studies, anthropology, journalism and mass media, and women, gender, and sexuality studies. Quadruple murder suspect Brian Koberger's attorneys have filed an objection to cameras in the courtroom, saying media coverage is encouraging a push for mob justice. The attorneys said the heavy coverage impacts the presumption of innocence and Koberger's constitutional right to a fair trial. Law enforcement accused Koberger of stabbing 4 University of Idaho students to death in an off-campus house November 13th. The deceased, found in bedrooms with wounds from a large knife, were Ethan Chapin, Madison Mogan, Kaylee Goncalves, and Zaina Kernodal. Attorneys wrote in the new court filing, however much it may help the horrific pain of the victims' families to scream at the system, their alternative, mob justice, is far worse. It helps nothing to come to court assuming guilt. It helps nothing to overcome law in Latah County and kill an innocent man or have a worthless conviction overturned. As such, these phrases are used to characterize and make determinations about an individual based on limited footage with no regard for the presumption of innocence, which may impact a jury's opinion. Therefore, the presence of cameras allows for the potential that the courtroom will devolve from a place for the victim, society, and the accused to receive justice to a mere spectacle. The Idaho Legislative Services Office reports tax revenue from May is $17.3 million ahead of projections. The general fund now has $5.2 billion. The Idaho Division of Financial Management reports corporate income taxes are $57.3 million more for the year than the division's revised forecast, while individual income taxes are $15.5 million below the revised forecast. The Legislative Services Budget Monitor report said the legislature approved several tax relief bills over the past few years, including an income tax top rate reduction from 6.5% to 6.0% between the two fiscal years. As a result, the general fund year-to-date revenue collections are $368.4 million less when compared to this time last year. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
KRFP Community Radio is proudly supported by Ponderosa Rentals, providing quality home rentals since 2006.
An experimental nuclear technology project slated for testing in Idaho is raising concerns about the potential for nuclear weapons proliferation. The Bill Gates-owned company TerraPower plans to test technology known as a molten chloride fast reactor at the Idaho National Laboratory. Former U.S. State Department officials warn the project's use of bomb-grade uranium sets a bad precedent and could encourage other countries to do similar experiments. Ava Traverso with the Snake River Alliance says with the war in Ukraine increasing fears of nuclear weapons use, the project should be reconsidered.
As a nation, especially with the state of the world right now, we should be leaning away from creating a larger possible stream of nuclear weapons production.
A spokesperson for TerraPower says the highly enriched uranium would be dealt with securely and in a location that already handles this type of material. While the U.S. Department of Energy did assess the potential environmental effects, she says the agency should go further and release an environmental impact statement, focusing especially on waste created by the project.
If they are going to do this project, they need to do it right, and they need to do right by the people of Idaho and take an actual proper environmental assessment and not just say there's no risk, because there is.
The Energy Department has said it is committed to reviving and expanding domestic nuclear energy to help the U.S. reach its goal of net zero emissions by 2050. However, Traverso says the transition away from fossil fuels needs to happen sooner than nuclear can provide needed energy resources.
Starting these experiments gives people hope that, oh, nuclear will solve climate change, but we need real renewables now. We don't have 25 or 30 years to wait.
For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Washington Fish and Wildlife Department fishery managers announced an online public forum on a proposal to treat six area lakes and the West Medical Lake ponds with a commonly used and naturally occurring pesticide to remove undesirable and illegally stocked species of fish from the lakes and ponds. According to the spokesman review, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife wants to treat Williams Lake in Stevens County, West Medical Lake's ponds in Spokane County, and June Lake, North Windmill Lake, and Windmill and Canal Lakes in Grant County. In a Fish and Wildlife news release, Warm Water Fish Programs Manager Kenneth Behan wrote, "These waters will be treated with the goal of restoring popular trout fisheries by removing goldfish, pumpkin seed sunfish, bluegill sunfish, yellow perch, and other competitive species detrimental to trout growth. These fish compete with and sometimes prey on stocked trout fry, rendering our trout stocking efforts ineffective." According to the news release, the public can listen in on the meeting on Microsoft Teams or by calling a number listed on the Fish and Wildlife Department website. Members of the public may submit written comments and read the addendum and supporting documents at the department website. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department officials announced a plan this week to invest in research to track state trout population declines in the southwestern part of the state. According to the spokesman review, the agency is proposing temporary fishing restrictions on the Big Hole, Beaverhead, and Ruby Rivers. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Fisheries Division Administrator Eileen Rice said research shows high water temperatures and low water flows create stress on fish, which weakens them, making fish prone to the impacts of disease. Rice said cold water fish like brown and rainbow trout really struggle in low warm flows, particularly when this happens during spawning or after the eggs hatch. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Chief of Conservation Policy Quentin Kajala spoke about limiting additional stress on trout, beginning with assessments of the impacts of fishing on rivers in the southwestern part of the state. Kajala said the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department is committed to, quote, bringing more resources to bear to protect trout and get to the bottom of population declines in southwestern Montana. The proposed restrictions would limit brown trout fishing during the spawning season for the species and would impose catch limitations on certain stretches. The Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has set up a public comment registration form, but it has not opened yet.
Nine conservation groups are calling on wildlife agencies in Wyoming and Idaho to require black bear hunters to take a bear identification course before getting a hunting license. Kristen Combs with Wyoming Wildlife Advocates says at least 14 Greater Yellowstone Ecosystem grizzly bears were killed between 2010 and 22 because of mistaken identity. But she says the actual number is likely much higher.
There are also 113 cases of mortalities still under investigation. 71% of those cases actually are in Wyoming. There's likely a higher mortality through mistaken identity.
Last month, a man shot a 530-pound grizzly bear just outside Yellowstone National Park, claiming he thought it was a black bear. Wyoming Game and Fish says they are reviewing the proposal, but recent moves by Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon suggest the state is moving in the opposite direction. Gordon has called for restoring trophy hunting and recently filed suit against the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for taking too long to remove Endangered Species Act protections for all grizzlies in the state. Combs says relying on color alone to identify a black bear is problematic because grizzlies and black bears often display multiple colors. She points to Montana's Bear ID course, where hunters learn to spot key differences. For example, grizzly bears have smaller, more rounded ears that are fuzzier than the ears of black bears, which seem larger in proportion to head size, longer, more erect, and pointed.
in a grizzly bear, it's going to have a hump behind its head, which is a massive muscle that they use for tearing open carcasses and logs. It's going to have more of a dish-shaped profile on its nose. Black bears usually have just a very straight down profile.
Combs believes the loss of even a single grizzly is a threat to the species' full recovery, especially for bears trying to connect with more genetically diverse populations outside Yellowstone. She says ultimately it's up to Wyoming Game and Fish and other state agencies to protect the iconic species that people from all over the world travel to see in the wild.
It really just all goes back to a hunter knowing their target before they shoot. Pulling the trigger on a gun, it's a serious act. If you're not 100% certain about what is at the other end of that barrel, you just shouldn't take the shot.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Wyoming News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Idaho Governor Brad Little announced a plan to create a fentanyl-themed round table of legislators, law enforcement, and other agencies to discuss how the state can fight fentanyl. Little made the announcement in a news release after he returned from a trip to the border region in Texas, where he says much of the fentanyl trafficked into Idaho comes from. Former city clerk of Beauville and Lapway, Tracy Lynn Pryor, pleaded not guilty last week in U.S. District Court to wire fraud charges. Court documents say as Beauville city clerk from October 2018 to September 2019 and as Lapway city clerk from October 2019 to July 2020, Pryor embezzled hundreds of thousands of dollars from the cities. At both jobs as city clerk, Pryor had access to financial accounts and was required to keep detailed financial records. According to the Daily News, court documents said Pryor planned to defraud Beauville of about $156,760 using the internet and wire services to transfer the money into her personal credit card or PayPal accounts. The court documents say as the Lapway city clerk, Pryor defrauded the town of $287,885 using the same accounts to transfer the money for personal use. Court documents say Pryor spent the money from both cities on gambling, jewelry, and other personal items. Pryor allegedly hid the transferred money by not recording the transactions and altering bank account records. A judge has scheduled a jury trial for Monday, July 24th in Coeur d'Alene. Pryor faces up to 20 years in prison and a $200,000 fine. Pryor is free on bail. Washington State University researchers at the College of Agriculture, Human and Natural Sciences and the WSU School of Design and Construction are using a $700,000 grant to study turfgrass resilience. According to the Daily News, the funding will support a Washington Turfgrass Association study, which is focused on improving the durability and design of real grass fields, which would create region-specific maintenance programs for public sports facilities and heavy traffic areas. Washington Turfgrass Seed Association President and turfgrass seed grower Travis Meekum of Moses Lake said turfgrass, quote, creates oxygen, cools our communities, and is safer for athletes. In addition to the sports field research, we are going to see if pavers and turfgrass can help soak up runoff from parking lots and see if it's a viable option for local cities and towns.
Portland has nixed plans to bring gunshot detection technology to the city. The technology, designed by a company formerly known as ShotSpotter and now called SoundThinking, raised concerns among some Portlanders that it might be used to more heavily police low-income communities and communities of color. In his announcement, Mayor Ted Wheeler said the city would not move forward with the project because of resource constraints. Jake Doctor is a community advocate who has organized against the technology and says the mayor's statement evoked mixed emotions.
A thankful sigh of relief that it won't be happening, and then also a continued frustration with the mayor and law enforcement to say, even in your we're not doing it right now, is them admitting that they're not listening to the community and that it seems to be a foregone conclusion that we'll have to swallow this pill at some point.
Critics say other cities have dropped their contracts with SoundThinking because the technology is not effective. It was also revealed that the company fostered close ties with members of the police bureau to help bring the technology to Portland. Wheeler says the city will look at other ways to tackle gun violence, including a program called Portland Ceasefire. but doctor says local groups have not been included in this new initiative.
It's just another example of looking for a solution while local groups and local people are saying, we're here and we need support and we need activity. They're being left out.
The city is pursuing new initiatives modeled on programs from cities around the country. While gun violence increased in Portland and nationally at the start of the pandemic, it has since declined. For Oregon News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Looking at the weather, the National Weather Service has a flood watch in effect until 11 a.m. tomorrow for the following counties in Idaho: Latah, Benawa, Bonner, Boundary, Kootenai, Nez Perce, Lewis, and Shoshone, and for the following counties in Washington: Chelan, Ferry, Okanagan, Ponderay, Spokane, and Stevens. Flooding may occur in poor drainage and urban areas. Extensive street flooding and flooding of creeks and rivers are possible. Flash flooding caused by excessive rainfall continues to be possible. Thunderstorms were expected to first impact the central Idaho panhandle late this morning and transition to heavy torrential rainfall by mid to late today in northeastern and north central Washington. Burn scars and steep terrain will be susceptible to flash flooding. Urban and rural areas may experience flooding in low-lying areas and roadways. The threat for flooding will continue overnight into tomorrow. People should monitor later forecasts and be prepared to take action should flash flood warnings be issued. The forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area is calling for 70% chance of precipitation tonight. Showers likely and thunderstorms possible before 2 a.m., then a chance of showers. Some storms could produce heavy rain, cloudy otherwise, with a low around 58. Between a quarter and a half inch of rain possible. Tomorrow, 40% chance of precipitation, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. Mostly cloudy, high 74. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight Friday night, mostly cloudy, low 54. 30% chance of showers on Saturday, mainly in the afternoon, partly sunny, high 76. It'll be partly cloudy Saturday night, low 55, and a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday afternoon, otherwise mostly sunny, high around 80. Currently 68 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and art programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. There you can adopt a DJ. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. And you can also use a PayPal option, and the Patreon button is there as well. Also on the website, you can stream KRFP and listen to archived editions of all the shows that we air for the last 2 weeks by using the KRFP archive. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a good night. Talk Nation Radio coming up next, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, we'll have Appearing Locally, where we'll feature music from bands and artists that are appearing in the Moscow-Pullman area in the near future, including tonight. And at 8 o'clock, Maximum Rock and Roll. And we'll have a substitute programming, 9 to 11. At 11 o'clock, recorded jam band concerts with The Ride. Stay tuned for more KRFP Moscow-Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is brought to you in part by One World Cafe, specializing in craft coffee, fresh baked pastries, artisan sandwiches, weekend brunch, wine, beer, and cider on tap. One World Cafe has a web calendar for upcoming live events and a campus location in the Janssen Engineering Building.
KRFP is dedicated to progressive values, including peace and human rights.